Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Lee Cantor here with Katie Galley, another episode of High Velocity Radio. But Katie, these are my very favorite episodes because these are the thought leader radio episodes.
Yeah,
we've interviewed a bunch of smart people, haven't we?
We have so many.
So many. And today it will be no different. Today we have Jennifer Fortney and she is with Cascade Communications. Welcome, Jennifer.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Jennifer, before we get too far into things, can you share a little bit about Cascade? How are you serving folks?
We are serving folks, as you say, through storytelling. We see the power of the future of marketing really being your story and how do you tell it over all of your platforms. So whether it's public relations, your website, social media, sales materials, they should all absolutely be aligned, but you want to share that same story just in different contexts.
Now, your firm's a PR firm, right? But you utilize storytelling in order to help your clients achieve their goals?
Yeah, we're really marketing communications. So PR has been the bread and butter for, I've been in business 17 years. So probably even the last 15 years, or the first 15 years, it was really focused on public relations. And what I saw was that we could do our job in driving traffic to your website. That's what you hire us to do. But if there was a disconnect between the message we were putting out and then when people got to the website, if they didn't see that same message and story and have an emotional connection to it right away, they were bouncing off the site. So I started really looking at the overall health of all of the marketing communications for a client to ensure not just that we do our job with PR, but that it's actually going to be successful for you in the end.
And then that has been, I guess, a blurring of the lines of the evolution of public relations and kind of where marketing, public relations, just marketing communications are all kind of blurring into one messaging interaction, I guess, from the consumer standpoint. Are you seeing that kind of blurring of the lines?
A little bit. I mean, forever we have said that your marketing communications have to be consistent. So if you're telling your message over here, it needs to be a similar message over there. And with the internet, websites, and online, mobile shopping, all of these things, if they see a story somewhere or they see you somewhere, you need to make sure that the idea that they have in their mind that's presented through that story is translated on your website. If they're going to your website because they have a need, they say, oh, I see this, I need it, I'm going to go to the website and check it out. And that's really the primary source for sales. So PR, it really drives the traffic, but your website really, it's your storefront. It's got to sell.
So this the website has to kind of, it has to be congruent with your messaging. And there was a saying in advertising, I don't know if it's still valid today, but if you're branding, whether you think you're branding or not, right? Like everything has to be kind of say the same thing in the eyes of the customer or else they get confused and they go elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love that you're branding whether you think you are or not, because, you know, I work with people who have websites and they don't understand why it performs. Well, you know, they have this idea in their mind as a business of how they wanted to communicate it, but it is completely lost on the traffic that's coming to their website. They just don't know how to align their story to create that emotional connection with their customers.
Now, do you find that some of the clients get impatient, like they just want the person or the prospect to buy the thing, and a lot of times it's better if they kind of lead them through with breadcrumbs so they kind of self-discover and then they decide they want this rather than the client saying they have to have it.
Right. I think that's a funny, that's a good way and funny way to put it, because every client wants that, right? Like every client just says, I built it, they will come. And that is not necessarily true. how you think you're telling your story may not be telling it in the way that is compelling to the customer, right? So they have a need, they have found you, and now you need to tell them why and how you'll solve their need.
And don't you also have to kind of, people find companies at different stages of the buying process. Like some people may never have heard of you, so they have to get a certain message. Some people might be very familiar with you and they might be closer to actually buying what you offer, so they may need different information. Like how do you kind of help your clients give them the information they need at the appropriate time?
So I don't necessarily find that to be true. The only time that a customer really kind of sits on the edge, sort of debating whether they're going to purchase a product or not, is based on price point. So the more expensive the product is, the more they're going to think about it. So they've come to your website, you see them coming, they're a return user, you've got high return users coming to your website, but they're not buying. Usually it's because of the price of the product. Something that's more reasonably priced, no brainer. They'll just click and buy. So I don't necessarily see that as true.
So is that, are you finding that in B2C or B2B? Do you think it's the same type of thought processes that happen?
Absolutely. I have a client that has an $1,800 LED light therapy product. And they, obviously, that's $1,800. You know, how are people going to figure out how to buy it? They know that they want it. They've seen it on TV or whatever it might be. But they've got to figure out and think to themselves, okay, I can put on this credit card, or how are they going to actually buy it? So that takes that purchase process stretches out longer. With B2B, it's the same thing. However, most of those clients may be spending $25,000, $50,000, $100,000 on services, and that does really stretch out the buying process.
So, and don't they sometimes have it's a more complex sale where they need multiple people to sign off on something? They have to explain it to, I have to explain it to the person who's going to use it. I have to explain it to the person who's going to pay for it. I'm going to have to explain it to the person that is going to be the implementer of the technology. Don't those need different messages?
So we find that our goal is to go straight to the buyer, right? And then on the B2B side, that buyer is going to do the work internally. So if they really want the service, then they're going to go through the process internally to ensure that they hire this company to work for them. We don't necessarily have to draft messages for every person in that company, just the primary decision maker that is going to hire a business to do work for them.
When you're working with your clients, are they typically working with your firm, an advertising agency? Are they working with different kind of firms around advertising, marketing, public relations, storytelling?
Yes and no. It's actually quite rare for us. A lot of our clients are smaller or have smaller budgets, so they come to us because we really are an overall integrated marketing communications company. We can guide them through everything that they need, as well as having incredibly affordable, valuable partners that I've relied on for, at least a decade, if not more, to come in and assist my clients with their needs, whether it be media buying or video production, that sort of thing. In our particular case, our clients are not large enough to have multiple agencies working for them.
So then you become kind of the primary, the quarterback of their marketing?
Yeah, I guess you could say that would be true, and leading them through. So we come up with a full, marketing audit. We look at the strategy or develop a new strategy to help them move forward, kind of filling in the blanks, and really act as their marketing company. The uniqueness, I think, is with my background in PR, you can absolutely, and integrated marketing. So once you understand PR and marketing and how to tell that story, you really can understand then how to tell it around and across other platforms.
But so the key first step is to really getting clear on what your messaging in the story is. So you have to get to the kind of the heart of the message.
Absolutely. Most of our clients have, they're thick in the weeds, right? They're entrepreneurs or small business owners. They're running their business every day. And so sometimes what they think the customer wants to hear is what they think they want to hear, but it's really not, right? So that's why you hire somebody from the outside to take a look at your business, your messaging, what's working, what's not working, really evaluate it, and then come back and say, let's address these things and fix them, and come up with the powerful messaging that is your story that you can really connect with people on. And people, consumers, customers love those stories, right? It's something that they can, there's a reason why we love human interest news stories, right? It makes us feel good and or sad, but we can really connect with those people as being human beings, right? And so as we've moved forward into this social world and connected world and more casual business environment, people want to know who they're buying from. They want to know who they're working with, and they want to build that connection with the company.
And they want it to be very authentic, right? Isn't that an important component?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I can tell you on several occasions over the last 17 or so years, a number of companies that I haven't chosen to work with just because they're what they were doing was not truly authentic. And I believe as a business owner, not being in the agency world, that I get a choice to who I get to work with and how can I benefit consumers. So our take is, you know, we're helping entrepreneurs realize their dreams, but we're also being of service to consumers to help save or solve problems in their life.
Can you share any stories of maybe working with a small guy and then helping them grow?
Oh, how much time do you have?
All the time you'd like, Jennifer.
There are quite a few. Let's look at a couple of different types of businesses. There was a small retail wine shop here in Chicago on the north side in Lakeview. And it was a couple of friends or several friends had gotten together and decided, hey, there's no wine store up here. This neighborhood's going to gentrify. This would be really a hot and great idea for a long time to come. And they were very smart, and they hired a sommelier who understood the retail business, understood the wine business, and handpicked everything in that store. And I had made some introductions for her to media. They didn't have a lot of money. And I thought, hey, you know, look, this is a great opportunity. I can help them. So I made some introductions to media that turned into really fulfilling relationships for her and the store. And I remember after I had started working with them, it was, I think that I started working with them the summer. And then by March or April of the following year, they had already hit their sales goal for the entire year.
Wow.
And by Q4, it was Christmas. I couldn't get her on the phone. And she just said, okay, can you stop for a while? Because we're really overwhelmed. And they were selling and shipping wine all over the country. There was a inspirational fashion line that I worked with as well. And this is actually a story of success and failure at the same time. We had really crafted their story around positive thinking and the power of positive thinking. And I drummed up some research to help really align the reason behind what they were doing in their company, spreading positive messages out into the world, not just to the person who was wearing it, but also the person who would see it. And they quickly attracted media. I don't think that they actually believed that it would be as well received as it was. Their first day in Shape magazine, they had more than 400 orders. And from that day on, I couldn't get them on the phone. They were in O magazine. They were in several other publications as well. And they transition from a basement to a business office to a larger distribution center. And ultimately, because they didn't believe that they could, that they would drive that much attention for their brand, they were not prepared. So they weren't prepared with their vendors to increase manufacturing when needed, or staffing on site so that they could fill orders and really have that great customer experience that they wanted and were committed to. And ultimately, after reaching about $1 million in revenue, they told me to stop, and they slowed down. And unfortunately, they chose to quit the business, which is heartbreaking.
Wow.
So, you know, good things happen, but the lesson learned there is another tactic that we employ here, is that we really want to understand where you are in your business. And if you're going to embark on a marketing campaign or public relations to push your message out, you really do need to be prepared organizationally for that success.
Right, which is kind of ironic that they were focusing on, you know, positive messaging and believing in at the heart of it, they might not have really believed in theirs, because if they did, they would have been prepared.
Yeah, I know. It is kind of ironic. And they were really one of the first brands out there. And really, I say brand because they became a brand through their marketing. They were really one of the first brands out there to really drive home this positive messaging and really wanting to spread love and peace and harmony and make people feel good and build self-esteem in all ways. It was a very good company, and it's sorely missed.
Now, when you're working with a new company and you're learning about what they're about and the best way to serve them, what is a typical kind of a marketing mix where it's some social, some reaching out to the media? Like, how do you kind of put together the marketing mix for them?
So it really depends on what their goals are. PR is always at the forefront. Everybody wants to be in the media. So that is really a given. The important part, as I was stating before, is that we then evaluate everything else that they're doing, because I want to ensure that that PR campaign is going to be successful. We're not the kind of agency who just says, yeah, sure, we can get you PR, but we don't really care about whether you can handle it or not, or whether it's going to drive sales or not. I really focus our efforts on making sure that everything that we do is truly successful. And the reason is because oftentimes you can go do your job and your clients will come back and say, but we didn't sell anything. We had a lot of traffic, but we didn't sell anything. So I can't pay you. And I say, well, we did our job, right? We did right. What we were contracted to do. For me, I have found that getting more involved in their businesses and really being an expert marketer or their sort of VP of marketing for hire person is shown even more beneficial to their overall long-term success. So we know that it's PR. We'll definitely do a marketing audit to evaluate the other things that they're doing. You know, again, they don't have a lot of time, so they don't put thought into a social media strategy of how they should be using it. We find mostly that by telling our clients, hey, stop pushing. Nobody likes the person at the cocktail party who just talks about themselves all night, right? You need to share some anecdotes and pull some other content to share with people that connects to what you're doing and engages people. And usually once we tell them that, then they understand how to go do it on their own, which is great. And then we can focus on the higher level marketing strategies as well as PR, which is, as you know, one of the more affordable ways to get your message out about your business. And it's the only tool in the marketing mix that builds credibility, right? And people don't, they'll see a logo on your website, but they may not necessarily know or understand that they're being, that's propelling them further into that purchase process. But it does leave a mark. It builds credibility to see, you know, a logo of, let's say, the Chicago Tribune or Inc. magazine down there, and they'll say, oh, well, maybe I really need to buy this.
How do you manage the expectations of the client when they have that dream of being written up in Chicago Tribune or Inc. magazine, and knowing that, you know, you can throw it out there, but there's no guarantee that if they pay you for your services that you're going to get them kind of in those magazines or in that publication?
Yeah, that's always a tough one, right? I mean, there is no guarantee, you know, acts of God may happen and thwart the news cycle, so that could push back stories or even, you know, tie down a reporter and we can't get hold of them for a couple of weeks. But that is kind of, that's more of a rarity, right? I mean, in the greater picture of things, that's a smaller percentage than is actually the truth. So I have a background in journalism. So my strength is really creating newsworthy stories. And so I understand what the reporter wants. I understand what the TV station wants. I understand what the radio station wants. And I build a campaign specifically for that client around exactly what that media outlet wants. And oftentimes, if not more times than none, around what that exact reporter wants. If they're interested in something specific and I can twist, or I hate to use the word twist or spin, I hate that word too, but if I can turn the story into something that's going to be really interesting to them and therefore their audience, that's really where our success lies compared to a lot of other companies.
How do you advise clients who feel like, oh, what we do is boring? You know, I'm an accounting firm, you know, like that's all, we're good at counting things or doing taxes. That's not very interesting. You know, how do you kind of make that boring industry interesting?
So we really rely, when it comes to those types of businesses, on expert positioning. So we encourage them to write content, blog posts, and then we will go out to a variety of business media and pitch them to, you know, they can pick from a list of, let's say, 10 types of articles that they can get from these people that are different than what they've seen before. And so we utilize content as PR, right? So they're writing an article for a publication they want to be in that might not write a business story on them because there's nothing interesting there, but their expertise, their approach may be different. That is all part of their story, right? So how can we create content around this unique approach or idea? Their idea of accounting, right, could be, hey, let's take it out of the technical and put it into really easy to understand information and push it out to millennials or push it out to seniors. So we really cultivate the content and then use it for PR purposes.
Now, is that a difficult challenge for you, is to get that content out of the brains of your clients and into, you know, kind of usable form?
Yeah. Yeah. So there are some that are better at it than others. Those who lack the skills of writing, I just encourage them to do a brain dump, an email. You know, give me some topics. I'll pick them. You do a brain dump, an email, and then I'll edit it, right? I'll present the article for you. And we give them certain guidelines of searchable, popular content, you know, top five reasons why, you know, those kinds of things. Those articles are really popular and quick reads. So it's important that we understand how to present that content in a way that people that who don't have a lot of time and are looking in their mobile phone just want to read a quick article, that we can present it so that it's very easy to read. It's keyword rich for search, of course, but we want to make sure that they're getting all the information, breaking it up, you know, presenting headlines that break up the content and make it that much easier to read.
Now, it seems, I believe that PR is kind of underutilized for a lot of small and small businesses and startups. But I think it's critical, especially even just from a strategic 40,000 foot view of their business, to understand the core message and key messages just to help them kind of just in their journey as they go on. How do you is it possible to make it affordable for a small business? Or it seems like some of them don't invest in it, when I think that it can really catapult them to success. And a lot of times they struggle because they didn't make an investment in PR.
So this is a great point, right? I mean, understanding what your story is, the story of your business, the story of your product, is the number one secret to your marketing, right? And I find that a lot of our clients and small businesses I engage with or interact with or meet at events, they've tried PR, so they have invested in it, or they've tried to invest in it on their own, but they've failed because they don't know what their story is. They've got a story here and a story there, and they don't know how to put it all together. So sometimes a lot of free advice is given at networking events whenever I'm out, just to help them better tell their story and through all of their marketing. And it is possible for it to be affordable. Certainly, we don't cost as much as a major PR agency that works with Fortune 500 clients. And we're less expensive than boutique agencies with 20 employees. But you can also learn to do it on your own, which I think is even more important. But my clients that come to us, and they have an understanding of PR. So they know what it is. They know what they should expect. They've done some homework. Are much more are much easier to work with, right? Because they have an understanding. Mostly, the first part of our relationships with clients is really onboarding, so that they understand what PR is. They understand the value of their story and how that plays out across all of their marketing. And you know, if they generate positive PR, how do they use that to boost even more traffic, right? So how do they post that on social media and create an ad or boost the post to attract more attention to them? So it really is quite a pivotal. And I taught a class actually at SCORE Chicago for about 6 years. I didn't get paid for it. It was truly to teach people about PR, what it is, how it works, why it works, and how they could do it themselves. And I turned it into a book, actually a DIY PR book for small businesses. Really simple, quick read, meant to, you know, somebody could start it on Saturday morning, and by Monday morning they have their PR and marketing strategy. So I wanted it to be very easy to understand, because it is, actually. Once you can train your mind to think in a different way, like a news person, or just get on your Twitter feed and, you know, look at all the headlines that are coming through your Twitter feed. What do you find that you click on? And then try and replicate that. So it is possible to DIY PR, and to do it with some strategy, right? So you don't have all the time in the world. You want 500 media outlets to cover you, but, you know, realistically, you should just start with the top 25, knock those out, go to the next top 25. So I find it's very, very possible to DIY. Some of our clients have DIY'd before they came to us just because they didn't have budget. So it can be affordable.
Now, what's the name of the book and where can they get a hold of it?
The book is called Pitched, A Simple DIY Guide to Public Relations for Small Businesses. It's available in paperback and Kindle on Amazon.
And then your website, what's your website if somebody wanted to have more substantive conversation?
Sure, it's cascadecoms.com. So shortened version of Cascade Communications.
And then before we wrap, can you share maybe one thing from the book, like one easy, the lowest hanging fruit thing a person could do to kind of DIY their PR?
So you just used the perfect word, lowest hanging fruit. We always encourage our clients or people who are DIYing, and I talk about this in the book as a priority, is to look at the low hanging fruit. Which media outlets or which bloggers are absolutely connected to your audience and the most likely to write a story on your business. Oftentimes, it can be trade publications, industry trade publications, and let me tell you, they are always hungry for interesting news stories. Here's a great example. I worked with an author who was a former gymnast and did quite well and wrote a book on his success. And we pitched it to all the gymnastics and relevant consumer media, cheerleading, all of that. And they went crazy over it. So really focus in on the low-hanging fruit. Don't think you're going to get New York Times today. Start slow. Practice, too. You know, give yourself an opportunity to maybe work with a blog or a smaller online publication where you can practice your writing, practice your interviewing skills until you get there.
And then that's what a lot of people don't realize is that some of the larger places get their content or ideas from the smaller places, right? And you can work your way up the out.
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, media does follow media. We find mostly, at least in 20 plus years, my experience is that major media tends to follow major media. Years ago when I launched the Apple Teeny to the U.S., I only contacted a handful of publications. And the next thing I know, New York Times is calling me and everybody's calling me. So just because Chicago media really picked up on that story and exploded. I mean, Sun Times was a cover, the food section of the Sun Times. Next thing I know, I turn on the news and the news anchors have Apple TVs on their their anchor desk. So it was really, and so next thing I, Bon Appetit, call it, it was, so sometimes, media does follow media, especially if it's a really good trend story.
Well, Jennifer, thank you so much for sharing your story today. It was very informative and filled with a lot of wisdom. So I hope all the small to mid-sized business owners out there are calling Jennifer, buying the book for sure, and definitely checking out her website.
Well, thanks for having me on. I'm always happy to be of service to small businesses.
All right. That's Jennifer Fortney, and she's with Cascade Communications, cascadecomms.com. This is Lee Cantor for Katie Galley. We will see you all next time on Thought Leader Radio.